Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Toncast, the only Toncast where every week the host is different and the very special guest is always the same. iTunes users have called it lame and wonderful. There is no host this week, meaning me, very special guest, Todd Robert Anderson, is what you're stuck with, meaning me. Good grammar. Good grammar, Todd, meaning I, Todd Robert Anderson, is what you're stuck with. I'm not going to edit out the bad grammar. I want you to know that I'm imperfect, and that's how it is, and that's how it's going to remain. I am a human being. It's currently St. Patty's Day. I'm recording this on St. Patrick's Day 2014, so if you happen to listen to this on St. Patrick's Day 2014, hey, happy St. Patty's Day. My local neighborhood, a watering hole, is kicking right now. It opened at dawn. I almost got up at 6:15 to go and see what it would be like to be in a bar on St. Patty's Day at dawn. But then I remembered I don't care. So I slept all the way till 6:30 when an earthquake 4.7 on the Richter scale rocked Los Angeles and my living room, and knocked pictures off the walls and freaked out cats, and beds in the bedroom shook around, and everybody got freaked out. And I always find that to be a deeply, deeply, deeply humbling experience, the whole earthquake thing. I don't care for it. I don't like it. It resonates with me for days after, terrifies me about when the larger ones, the inevitable larger ones, will come. And how will we fare? Will our house collapse? Will it stay standing while other houses collapse around it? Will we get out okay? Will the cats get out okay? Will the plants get out okay? It's kind of a terrifying thing. And every time there's a little tremor, we go out and buy a bunch of canned goods, which we eventually eat before the next tremor happens. But my wife was saying this morning, we should order some of those MREs, you know, the military freeze dried or whatever food, and you like add water or something. I don't know how they work, but we can get those and they last for a year and we can just keep them. And you can order like a 7-day supply and live off of that. So yeah, that's our big, earthquake survival plan, MREs, and prayers, which is awkward because we're an agnostic household. But that doesn't mean we don't believe. Praying can't hurt, can it? Can't. It can't hurt. So what else has been going on other than earthquakes and actings? Okay, no, I'm an actor, so that's pretty much what's been going on. Last night, these guys, Eric and Tony, sweetest guys in the world. They're a couple of filmmakers, and I shot a short film called Butterfly Dust with them last year. That's sort of a thriller, crossed with a horror, but it plays like a thriller, but it would probably be classified as horror just because of the subject matter. I don't know. I'm not responsible for classifying things, and I don't understand how they classify things sometimes. So, you know, you classify it the way you want. Classify it the way you want. I don't, you know, whatever floats your boat, whatever's going to get you to look at it. It turned out pretty good. And I just wrote about this on my blog on WordPress, because, you know, there's all these things that I feel like I need to do to get the attention of human beings. And none of them really get a lot of attention, but they get some attention. I would like all of the attention. Well, maybe not all the attention, because I don't want to raise the ire of Putin or anybody. So, you know, I don't want, you know, just like cool people, nice people, people who love and accept entertainers without critical thought. People are just going to love me kind of regardless, rose-colored glasses. I'd like to get to the point in my career where I can do anything and people will think it's great, you know, like David O. Russell or Woody Allen or somebody like that. You know, and I don't want to have to, you know, work as hard and like kind of put out crap and people will go see it and be like, no, that was good. And then the critics and the critical thinkers that have conversations with those people will be like, what are you talking about? That thing was a piece of shit. And they'll say, oh, you're just an asshole. You're full of hate and negativity. And why, what's your problem, critics? You know, I want to be in that place where I feel no pressure about the quality of my output. Because right now, you know, in the place I'm in, I feel a tremendous amount of pressure to do a good job. And that's exhausting. Doing a good job is exhausting. I don't want to do a good job anymore. I want to be lazy. I want to be lazy actor, you know, like a lot of big stars. I'm not going to name names like Robert De Niro or anything, but like a lot of them seem to have gotten lazy. They get lazy. I mean, understandably, they're older and, you know, they've done a lot and they don't care and they're rich and they don't care. I'm just saying I'd like to be one of their brethren. I'd like to, you know, have dinner and talk about how much I don't care with the other people who feel that way. But right now I have to care, you know, when you're scrapping for jobs, you gotta go in, you gotta have energy and dedication, and you have to do your work, you have to do your prep work, and you have to be present, when it's time to shoot. And like I say, that's exhausting. It's really, really tiring, but it's how it has to be right now. So, Butterfly Dust, we shot that short film in a couple of days, or maybe it was 3 days. It was 2 or 3 days over a weekend, last year. It was all shot in one room. That was a set built in a loft in downtown, LA. And it was tight quarters. And, there was a whole crew in there. It was very smelly. 'Cause there's sweat and food and all those things combined and fartings. In an enclosed environment, with hot lights. They're hot lights. But it, you know, as tough as, you know, the circumstances were, it was still a fun shoot and good. And certainly a great, experience for me. Because it wasn't, you know, a comedy show, which, you know, I'm usually in comedy shows. So it was nice just to be acting, although I did have kind of a couple chuckle-worthy moments, I think, if you're in the right place. But that's not what it was about. So it's just cool. It's less pressure, actually, to be like a not funny dramatic person, because you don't feel like you have to get laughs. You just have to be good. That's all. You don't have to be funny. So that's always less pressure. So, you know, I like that. But anyway, so we're watching the thing, which I wrote about on my blog, as I mentioned before. And we're watching the thing last night. It's like a 16-minute show, and it's good. I really liked it. But you know, when I'm watching myself, it's hard not to get like distracted. It's hard not to look at myself and go, Jesus Christ, what? Oh God, I look like crap. I got bags under my eyes, this is all appropriate for the character, but I got bags under my eyes and I look bloated and I look tired and I look like my shoulders are very hunched and I look like a mess. All very appropriate for the character and the circumstances the character's in, But, you know, sometimes it's like, wow, did I do that too much? You know, or did I not hit that line well? Should I have done a better job hitting that line? And all these things go through your head. And then you remember, oh, remember what happened when we were shooting this? Like this thing happened or that thing happened. And you're like, well, and you try to push those things out so you can just concentrate on the movie and the story. Cause that's sort of the exciting. This is like, it's put together. When you shoot it out of order and you shoot different things multiple ways. And you don't know the, like, you're not necessarily, you know, that's what the director's job is, to figure out what your pacing should be in the scene. So it cuts together well, ultimately, with the rest of the thing. And so, you know, you adjust sometimes how fast you talk or how slow you talk or all those things. And, but you, when you see it, you want to see it. You want to see the story. You want to just witness it unfold and see how well you served the story as an actor. And, but no, it's really hard to do that. I usually have to watch something a couple of times before I get into a place where I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm just watching this as a movie. And it's weird. It's just weird to see yourself. Some actors can't. They hate it. They despise it. I don't hate it, you know, because I like acting and I like attention from people, especially, you know, women who, you know, think I'm hot now because they saw me in a movie or in a commercial. I like that. That's cool. But or guys, you know, I like all kinds of attention. I don't know why I singled out women. I mean, I'm heterosexual. That might have something to do with it. But I got no problem with getting attention from fellas. So, you know, bring it on, guys. Bring on the attention. Where are you? Why aren't you paying attention to me? Why aren't you listening to this right now and fawning all over my voice? My wonderful, wonderful voice. Anyway, so yeah, it was, uncomfortable to watch, but, I watched it and ultimately liked it. And it's always distracting to see myself, you know, and I don't know how else to deal with that. I don't know how to deal with that. I do my best. I try to shove those things that are getting in the way of me just watching the thing out, and I do my best, but it doesn't, you know. It doesn't always work. Never works. But, you know, maybe I'm getting better at it. I don't know. Anyway, if this movie, a short film, Butterfly Dust, does come to your area at a film festival, you should go. You should go see it. It's good. My wife watched it, and at the end of the 14 minutes, she was like, oh shit, I forgot this was a short film. She was really into it and wanted it to keep going, and it forgot that it wasn't a feature film. So, you know, and I guess the writer and director were telling me that a lot of the feedback they got at the screening they had was that, you know, people were like, they wanted more at the end. And their question was, well, is it a wanting more, like we did our job? Cause you want to leave them wanting more. You always want to leave them wanting more. Or was it more that they were frustrated with the end? And I can see it might be a little bit of both. I think when people, my favorite example of this is that movie, The Mist, the Frank Darabont, adaptation of the Stephen King story, The Mist, starring Tom Jane and Marcia Gay Harden and a bunch of other wonderful, recognizable character actors. A very good, very good monster picture in my estimation. It's one of my faves. It was one of my fave short stories, you know. It was just one of those things you read that sticks with you. I mean, that was one of the first Stephen King things I read, and I became a fan of Stephen King, you know, because of The Mist. And I had my dad read it, and he didn't like horror stuff, but he loved that story. So I was like, oh, this Stephen King guy is onto something. And I've since, you know, waned, because I don't, you know, you fall out of love. It's, you know, we had a great affair, Stephen King and I. There was a lot of passion and wonder, and love, I dare say. But it dissipated. And he doesn't know this because he doesn't know who the fuck I am, but it was very important to me, but it dissipated and I lost interest. I outgrew Stephen King. which is fine. I think that's fine. He's sort of comic booky in the fact that he churns out so much stuff, and his fans will, you know, like the actor I one day hope to be. He is a writer who now can just churn out anything, and his fans will read it. That's not to say it's all bad. It's just not all great, and it's just too much reading. It's too much reading to find the nuggets of good. And I can't trust people because half the time people will tell me, oh man, you got to see this thing, or you got to hear this thing, or you got to read this thing. And then I do what they told me and I go, what the fuck are they talking about? This is like massively overrated. I mean, that's the thing when you wait, you know, like my friend waited to see the Lego movie and the Lego movie got hyped up, you know. And I actually really liked the Lego movie. I thought it was a very good animated picture. One of the best in the last few years. If not the best in the last few years, by my estimation. But my friend saw it and he was like, "Eh, it's okay." And I get that reaction because, you know, it gets overhyped. People, you know, are overhyped by it. And then it's a letdown, and it's impossible for it not to be a letdown. So maybe that's what happens to me when people are like, oh, are you going to see this? But I think oftentimes I might be more on board because I am unlike the audience that I want in that I think critically. So I, you know, try to figure out, I mean, really for me, you know, the test is whether I like something or not is if I start thinking about other shit. You know, if I'm in a movie theater and I start thinking about the laundry I have to do or the bills I have to pay or even just I wonder what time it is, that movie is failing. And then when the movie's over, I'll think, well, why did I get bored? What wasn't working there? You know, all the elements were right. It had, you know, for me, you know, it had Jason Statham and Amy Smart and lots of violence and machismo and manliness and all those things that I kind of sorely lack. But, you know, wish fulfillment. Yeah, it's fulfilling my wishes. But then sometimes I'll see like something like that. Like, well, I was just talking about the Crank movies and I love both those movies, but I'm just imagining, you know, Jason Statham and Amy Smart in another movie and it's an action movie and it's got all those things that I like, but then, you know, getting bored and like, why would it be boring? I mean, I've seen action movies like that I should love. And I'm like, yeah, this is boring. Like that movie 300, which the sequel's out now, but everybody's like, that was the hit. And everybody's like, you gotta go see the 300. It's great. It's right up your alley. It's super violent. And, you know, and I was like, yeah, I'm on board. I like gladiators and shit. I'll go see 300 and watch the sword fights and the gorings and the beheadings. And there's a lot of that in that movie. But halfway through it, I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm bored out of my mind. Like one guy got his head chopped off and I said, I've never cared less about someone's head getting chopped off. And I really started thinking about it and like, why didn't I like it? And, I think the characters are, not there. I mean, there are ab muscles, but not characters in that movie. Abs with yelling heads on them and all that. And it sort of, played itself out after a while. At first I was into it, but you know that feeling like when you're psyched to see something and you're really, oh, this is up my alley. I want to see it. And you're on board and you're into it for a while. And then you start to realize your motor's running out. While you're watching the thing, your happiness, your that thing, the pre-excitement of going to this movie is just you ride on that for a while. But if the movie is not working, it kind of starts chipping away at you, and then you're bored and you want to look at your phone. But if you're at a movie theater, you can't look at your phone. That's why I like looking at movies at home, because if they get boring, I can look at my phone. But then when you run out of stuff to look at on your phone and then all you got is the movie, you got to like turn it off and find a different movie. It's terrible. The crosses that I have to bear, you guys, are intense. It's intense, and it hurts me. It hurts me to have to do these things, but I am an American, and I have to go to the movies, and I have to watch movies, and I have to spend my downtime doing fun stuff, because I'm an American, and that's one of the privileges, you know, of being an American, is you can do fun stuff and then complain about it. Because you're an American and you can complain about whatever you want because it's free speech. It's free speech, you guys. So I don't know how I got off on this tangent talking about that short film before. But, you know, I did. I got off tangentially. People do it. I'm desperately right now trying to find a thread of something to say. But I can't. I can't. So I'm just going to move on. I'm going to move on and talk about something else. And this is what I'm going to talk about. I don't know why I do this. And I know I have a few listeners, like seven listeners, maybe eight. Other people who stumbled by and were like, what is this? And then gone, I don't know what that is. And then they've given up. And I get it because, you know, it's sort of amorphous. You know, there's the bit. The general bit of when I'm getting interviewed, I answer questions. That's always easy and fun. I hope you enjoyed the last episode of the Toncast with Eric Spiegelman. And if you haven't listened to it, you should go and download it and listen to it. It's very fun. Eric Spiegelman is a charming gentleman. And we had a lovely conversation in which he was the host and I was the very special guest. Highly amusing. Talked about Cot Tom Hanks and shit. So there's that. And I mentioned this in one of my other podcasts, and I'm sorry if I overlap, but honestly, there's really only so much shit to talk about, you guys. I mean, I can tell you, you know what, when I'm done with this, I'll tell you what I've done so far with my day. You know, because that's about it. You know, when you get home at the end of the day, how was your day? Oh, it was good. How was your day? Oh, it's good. So try to turn that into a fucking half hour to an hour podcast every week. You can't. You wind up repeating yourselves. Yourself. You go back and you cycle back to things you might have said before, and then perhaps. You know, and that's what I'm doing. I mean, but that was on another podcast, and it was contextualized differently. So now I'm like talking about it just. Without a comment, it was just me. It's just me talking. Before I was sounding off against this guy, Jason Rohr, in this podcast called Jason and Todd Talk Through Lousy Films. And that's why, you know, I was making a joke at the end of the podcast about this, that I'm about to talk about. But I didn't get truly, honest about it. And I think, you know, I've actually in retrospect at the time on that podcast, I said, I just looked and I think I had looked at this years ago and I think I've even complained about it before. But it doesn't matter because this is my podcast and I can re-complain about stuff. But I went on iTunes and I was just curious to see if there were any reviews at all. And I clicked on it and, there was one review from some guy, you know. I mean, the thing is when I do user reviews, I put my name on it. You know, it's not some weird handle. I'm called Todd Robert Anderson. So if I review something, it's from a guy named Todd Robert Anderson. It's very clear. So if the artist who, I mean, and I really don't usually post user reviews that are negative at all. I'm not compelled to do that. I make fun of movies, you know, on my podcasts and stuff and on my web series, The Film Pigs on Geek Nation. I do that. But that's more making fun of movies. And then, you know, and when you look at old movies as we do in Jason and Todd Talk Through Lousy Films and the Film Pigs podcast as well, you know, you kind of, it's housed in a funny way. And it's not pure unadulterated criticism. So when I post user reviews, when I actually write a review of something, it's really just cause I like it and I think it should get attention. And I don't do it very often. You know, I did it for one of, Matt King is this, I have talked about Matt King on this podcast before. He's a musician, alt country guy. And I posted a nice review of his album, on Amazon because, you know, it's, there's, I can't, I don't have tons of money to send him. So the best I can do is a positive word. But this guy, I can't remember what his username was, but you can go on the iTunes feed and you can see it. And it just, he just wrote on the top, lame. And then, his one sentence review was, this is really super lame. I'm paraphrasing. This is really super lame, Todd. You should stick to your film pigs buddies. And that was it. It was just like a shutdown, a cruel, and there's no it's like, why do you think it's lame? Why is this lame? You know, a review should have, it should express why. That was just hate. That was just insult. That was just, I am superior to you and you're a piece of shit and your thing is a piece of shit. And I, like, you know, this is a fucking hobby. I don't charge people money for this. There's no advertising on this. I'm not stopping this every 10 minutes to say you should go to poststamp.com and get some dildos at Adam and Eve and drink this coffee. I don't do that. I'm just sharing. I'm sharing my shit. So that was cold and undercutting, and this is petty on my part, but I immediately posted a review of my own, which apparently you can get away with, but just saying that I thought I was wonderful, which I think is funny that there's one that says I'm lame from a stranger and then one that says I'm wonderful for me, and that's all the reviews that are on the iTunes feed. There's comedy in that, or maybe it's just sadness. Maybe it's just pathetic. I don't know. Tell you what. Write me and let me know what you think. You can write me at info@toddrobertanderson.com or post on Podbean and say something. Or if you would and you like me, you could go do a review. Review me on iTunes. That'd be nice. You know, get some more reviews on there, like a few more that don't say lame at the top. I'm not begging. I'm just at, like, if you're so inclined, if you like me, if I'm not wasting my time. Anyway, so as promised, I'm going to wrap up the show by telling you what's been going on with my day. 6:30 a.m. woke up to an earthquake. Cat's going apeshit. Pictures falling off of walls and stuff. And then I couldn't get really back to sleep, cause, you know, I had to get up at 7 anyway to make sandwiches. So got up at 7, made sandwiches for the family. I made some sandwiches. I made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and I put them in a lunchbox with some bananas and some juices. I get the V8 Fusion. Because it's got vegetables in it, but the kid will drink it because it tastes like fruit. And then, you know, some crackers and cheese. I think I put in some granola bars, some trail mix bars to get them through the day. They have my son has Taekwondo after school today, so he's going to need the extra. I don't usually put that amount of snack in the lunchbox, but on long days, I add an extra snack, you know, to tide them through, give them some energy for Taekwondo. So I did a good job on the lunches. I'm super proud of those. And then after the family left, I laid down on the couch and I was like, okay, I got to work out. But I made the mistake of lying down on the couch and I lay on the couch. And I was like half asleep on the couch for an hour, like, and every now and then would look at the clock and go, I gotta get up and exercise. I gotta do something. I gotta make something out of my life. I gotta make something out of my life. But that took an hour, and then I finally took a deep breath, got off the couch, exercised. I did the plyo side. Jump training routine from P90X2 with the exercise guru Tony Horton. So I did that. It was exhausting. And after that, while I was doing that, I got a phone call, which I had to answer because it was work. It was a work-related phone call. So I got, I lost my place in the workout and I had to re-find my place in the workout. So that was very difficult. But, I got the work call. That was important. I got my errands done after that. I went to the bank. And then I went to take my car into the shop because I don't have auditions today. I took my car into the shop, to get an oil change and tune up, but they were backed up. They had too many people. They said, come back another time. So I'm going to have to go back another time. And then, I came back here and I did chores. I cleaned up the house. I didn't do a house cleaning. I did that the other day, but I neatened up. I made the beds and I did the dishes and neatened up the house. That's what I did. And I think I did a really good job there. And then after that, I started working on things that I needed to get done. I did bills. And after I did the bills, I wrote a sketch for the Film Pigs web series on Geek Nation. I think it's very funny. It's been a concept I've had for a while. And actually, I don't even think it was my concept. I think it was one of the other pigs, and I've just taken it and made it my own, which I do a lot. I steal their stuff. I like to steal. And I don't give them credit because I'm a great artist. Let's see. Then I wrote that sketch. I think it's good. Craig Perry, who is a producer who produced Final Destination movies and American Pie movies and a movie that I was in called Replicate, is going to be the guest on the show. So that's exciting. So I sent him the sketch. Hopefully he likes it. You know, but if he doesn't, tough. I'm not getting paid for this. I'm not getting paid. I don't get paid. I'm doing this out of passion, out of love. So anyway, I hope he likes it. Then after that, I wrote that blog entry I told you about. And then after that, I got the mail. Didn't get any good mail, just like bills and crap. And then after that, I hooked the mic up to the computer and, I started recording this half hour plus of rambling nonsense. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of the Toncast.